Well, I would ask you to take your copy of God's Word and find the book of Amos, chapter 4. The book of Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 4. We will come back and pick up where we left off just a few weeks ago. This morning we are going to look at verse 6 down to verse 13, the rest of the chapter. Amos chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, and we will read down to verse 13, which is the end of the chapter. I would ask you if you're physically able to stand as we read God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, and sufficient word together. The book of Amos, chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. This is the word of God. I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I struck you with blight and mildew. Your many gardens and vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locust devoured. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses. And I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind, and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Let's pray again now. Our Father, again, we have this great privilege to where we can come before your written word and worship. And we don't worship your word, but we do hold it in high esteem because it is your word. In your grace and your mercy, you've given it to us. May we never approach your written word in an unworthy, unholy manner. May we understand that we have come face to face with you again. And this is the day of salvation if we're not Christians. Whatever your will is, for your glory, we ask that it be done. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we see in this text that Amos continues to serve as a prosecuting attorney. He is more or less God's district attorney who is calling the nation of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, to account for their sinfulness. It is roughly 790 to 750 B.C., and God has sent prophet after prophet to these people, and they have not listened. God has spoken, they have not listened, and now they are being called to account. This prosecution isn't so much about trying to find out if they're guilty or innocent. They're already guilty. God in His grace is just giving them notice of what is going to transpire, and it is because they have refused to listen. They have refused to repent. Israel has no excuses. None whatsoever. They've not only rejected God's special revelation. When I say special, remember, when we talk about revelation, we normally break it up into two broad categories. The first category, you've heard me say this many times, is general revelation. That is, God has revealed Himself in nature. We read in Psalm 19, we read in Romans 1, that God has revealed His glory in the heavens. Just as the sun goes from one end of the sky, from the east to the west, God has revealed Himself in nature. And these people have rejected God's general revelation, but He also reveals Himself uniquely in special revelation. Now, the greatest act of revelation is Him taking on flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have an accounting of that through the written Word. Now, for you and for me, we don't listen to Dr. and Reverend so-and-so, Apostle so-and-so, because God has already spoken and given us His written Word. But back then, and even into New Testament time, they didn't have the completed Word that you and I have, so God would send prophets. And God is speaking through Amos, just as He did through Elijah and Elisha and Moses and the others, to give special revelation. And He sent prophets to them, and they rejected. And God also spoke through general revelation, and they rejected. They didn't listen. They wouldn't come back. And God said, now it is time for you to prepare to meet Me. That's a scary thought. I'm just going to tell you. For a sinful creature to stand before a perfectly holy God is the most terrifying prospect you and I could ever imagine. And the only way you and I have any hope of standing before Him is clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and not our own. If you're counting on your goodness in any shape, fashion, or form, your knees should be knocking. There is only one righteousness that God accepts, and that is perfect righteousness. And the only way that comes is that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself your sin, and now His righteousness is credited to you as a gift through faith alone. They did not have this righteousness. They were sinning. They had continued sinning, and God has sent them prophet after prophet and spoken, and yet they have not listened, and God says, okay, it's time. Get ready. Get ready. Now, the reason I read earlier out of Deuteronomy, and as I read Amos, I hope you were paying attention, because it's a lot of what we read in Deuteronomy. God said in Deuteronomy through Moses, I'm going to send locust, I'm going to withhold rain, I'm going to send mildew, I'm going to send blight, I'm going to send all of these things. Don't forget, roughly, broadly, it is around 1400 B.C., when Moses stands before them and says this. And here it is now, 790 to 750 B.C. So we're talking approximately, ballpark, 600 years. 600 years, roughly. Now, that should remind us that God's gracious and He's long-suffering and He's patient. But this is an infinite patience, because at some point God says, enough is enough. It's time for you to stand before Me. And beloved, you and I, so easily we take life for granted, don't we? When things are going well, or we think we have all the time in the world, we take life for granted so easily. And how it can change in a blink of an eye, in a breath, life can change. And so you and I should stand up and take notice as we contemplate this passage this morning of preparing to meet God. God's providence here should cause us to pause and consider life and prepare us for the day of judgment. So I want us to walk through this chapter, what's remaining in this chapter. I'm going to break it down into 3 points. And I want you to notice here this idea of preparing to meet God. The first thing I want us to consider, and God speaks to them, God is revealing again to them through Amos, that He withheld provisions. Or I could put it differently, the withholding of provision. Now, when I say this, what I'm saying is God is telling them through these verses, there were things, instead of I had given to you these things in the past, I didn't give them to you anymore. I withheld them. I held them back. That's the idea. Look with me at verse 6. I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet. That's the same thing as but. Remember, the word is a contrast. But you did not return to me. Verse 7. I also withheld, there's the idea of withholding, the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field on which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet, or but, you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Now, when we read Deuteronomy earlier, God said, I'm going to make the heavens like bronze, the ground like iron. It's going to rain dust on you. I'm going to withhold these things from you. And notice what just has taken place. God said, I gave you cleanness of teeth. Now, you and I would say, well, hallelujah, we had clean teeth. You understand, back then, that meant I didn't have anything to get them dirty. I didn't have food. I mean, it's good that we have toothbrushes and mouthwash, and for some of us, cups, we might can drop them in. And, you know, I mean, we can clean them off. There it meant they hadn't gotten dirty because I haven't eaten anything. I've gone hungry. I gave you lack of bread in all your places. I didn't give you rain. I would send rain on this city, but not this city. Everybody would wander to another city because they had water, but when they got there, they would have just a little bit to drink and would go away thirsty. God said, I'm trying to get your attention. At the end of verse 6 and the end of verse 8, yet you did not return to me. So God is trying to wake them up. And He's saying, listen, I've given you grace and grace and grace and provision and provision and provision. And when you continue to go away from me, I said it is now time to try to shake them up to get them to come back. And God said, I withheld this from you. I withheld this from you. You were used to it, but you're not listening. You won't hear it anymore. And you know what they probably did? They did probably what most of us do. They attributed the withholding of these things to idols. They would go after false idols and they would engage in false worship to try to appease these idols. Or they would do what many of us, meaning in our culture, do. They would say, oh, Mother Nature, El Nino, La Nina, global warming. And we talk that way so easily because you know what that does for us? It clears our conscience. Because the moment we might attribute God is sovereign and providentially He may be trying to get our attention, that makes us or should make us say, well, why is He doing this sort of thing? And I'll boil it down to one word with three letters. Sin. Now, I'm not the kind of person, and I've been around these people, that sees a demon behind every tree. You know, there's a demon for this and a demon for that and a demon for this and a demon. I don't believe in that. And I don't want to read too much into the things that go on in our lives, because sometimes we get in the consequences of our own choices and our own doing. We do. God is sovereign, and sometimes He even keeps us from the bad consequences of our bad choices. But I also don't want to just chalk everything up to nature and global warming and everything else. God spoke through Moses to the people as a nation. Amos is speaking to the people here as a nation. And God says, you better sit up and take notice when I'm trying to get your attention. Now, is God trying to get the attention of America? Could be. Is America made up of individuals? Yeah. The thing I want us to take away from this is let's evaluate our own lives for a moment and see, is God maybe withholding things from in our lives that makes us sit up and take notice that we've gone astray, we're not doing what we should do as professing Christians. You know, he did that with churches. When you look back at the book of Revelation, the Apostle John addressed individual churches. Is God addressing Southside Baptist Church? Is He speaking to other churches? See, the wrong thing for us to do is to turn a deaf ear to it. And sometimes the wrong thing for us to do is over-evaluate so much that we over-scrutinize ourselves to death. We've got to walk in wisdom. But we've got to understand the fact that God is sovereign and He is providentially in control of everything. That's the only thing that should have gotten a lot of us through this past week when we were without power and we had maybe damage in our homes and other things that we know others that did. It's the fact that God is in control of these things. And here God says, I've spoken and I've spoken and I've withheld and you've not listened. But secondly, I don't want you to lose sight of the experience of adversity. Not only does God withhold provisions, but He also mentions they experienced adversity. Look at verse 9. I struck you with blight and mildew, your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locusts devoured. Here it is again. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses. I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Now there we see the opposite effect. God on some things said, I didn't give you grace. And on the flip side of the coin, God says, I gave you difficulty. God does use secondary means, does He not? He talks about blight and mildew. He talks about locust and pestilence and the enemies. That's the idea in verse 10. He killed your young men with the sword. Carried away your horses. That's God allowed enemies to rise up and conquer His people. We see that in the book of Judges and Kings and Chronicles. And God says in verse 11, I overthrew some of you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let me tell you, we still understand in our day to be compared with Sodom and Gomorrah isn't a compliment, is it? I mean, that's about as wicked as almost, well, you might could say it's as wicked as being called a Jezebel, ladies. Would you like being called a Jezebel? I wouldn't like to be compared with Ahab. God says, I've done this to you, yet you did not return. God in His grace has tried to get their attention. Now let's stop and just consider this one more time. Did God owe it to them to do these things? No. The moment they sinned, God could have wiped them out and been absolutely, perfectly justified in doing it. And yet, because He is a loving and a gracious and a patient God, you know what He did? He begins to send general revelation to them. Not only in His glorious creation, but He withholds rain. He does this. Then He sends adversity. And they won't listen, and they won't listen. And they knew the law. Moses had given it to them 600 years ago. And yet what happened? They listened not. They didn't hear. Oh, we're good. We're God's people. We're God's covenant people. God's always going to take care of us. God loves us. God's blessed to have us. Don't you know that God wants us to feel good about ourselves? And God is so blessed to have us on His side. Beloved, God owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. He owes America nothing. He owes you nothing. He owes me nothing. The fact that He gives grace is attributed to nothing but Himself, because that is the glorious God that He is. We are all sinners in and of ourselves, undone, unrighteous, unholy, ungodly, and deserve eternal damnation. That's what we all deserve. That's not a popular message, but it is a true message. And the fact that He's given us another day of life, He's allowed us to hear the gospel again, and what He's done for us in Christ, and Jesus said, "Whoever comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever calls on Me will be saved." Again, we have that privilege to consider that promise again. And sometimes God allows hardships and difficulties and withholds blessings in order to shake us up. Is He speaking through your difficulties? Is He speaking through your adversities? Again, don't hear me say everything that happens that is adversity is a chastisement. It's not. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Why? To teach him not to trust in his own strength, but to teach him to trust in Christ's strength. Okay, so don't hear me saying that every adversity is chastisement. I'm not saying that. I'm not. But what I am saying is sometimes it might be. Sometimes it might be. God never, ever, ever sends us difficulties to look inside of ourselves and see our own strength. God always gets us to take our eyes off of ourselves and trust in Him and look to His strength. If you don't believe that, you go and read 2 Corinthians again. Chapter 1 and chapter 12. Paul said it clearly. But He does send difficulties. He does withhold goodness. And here we see Him doing it. And five times, yet you didn't return. Yet you didn't return. Yet you didn't return. Lastly, the preparation for judgment. The preparation for judgment. We see the withholding of provisions. We see the experience of adversity. And now we see the preparation for judgment. Look at verse 12 and notice the first word of verse 12. Therefore. Now, five times God has said, I withheld this. I did this. Yet you didn't return. Five times. Yet you did not return. Therefore. So here's the reason. Here's what they need to hear. Thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For, behold, He who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is His name. Now those are descriptions. They're not exhaustive, but they're descriptions that should make them scared to death. You see the things that God says? I create the mountains. I create the wind. I declare to man what is his thought. I know your thoughts better than you know your thoughts, God says. I tread on the heights of the earth. There is nothing within creation that limits or contains God. He transcends. We looked at that last week. He transcends creation. The Lord, that is the covenant name of God, the self-existent one, the one that does not need us to exist. He has all existence within Himself. You and I need food and sleep and a host of other things. God needs none of these. God says, I'm the self-existent one. I am the God of hosts. I am the God of all things. That is my name. That is my character. That's how you know me. And you better get ready because you're going to appear before me. Now, I don't know if you've ever... I have up until this point in life. I can't say what tomorrow is going to bring. But up until this point in life, I've never had to appear before a big boss in any place I've worked with the fear that I was about to get fired. But let's just say for the sake of argument that tomorrow's the day that I get the notice, oh, you in trouble and you got to go meet with the mayor tomorrow. And that's probably going to be a fairly restless night. I mean, I'd be taxing my brain going, what did I do or what did I fail to do? I don't know what I did, but let's just say I knew what I did. And I had no excuse for what I did. And I know that if I get fired, I might lose not only income, but retirement and benefits and everything else. And, you know, at this stage in the game, to start over and try to do all that, you can make questions arise in your mind. So let's just say I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, you know, what in the world is going to take place tomorrow? That's not even worth comparing to standing before the God of creation. The one that has the power of eternal life and eternal death. And God says, this is enough. I'm tired of this. You've turned against me in general revelation. You've turned against me in special revelation. It's time. Get ready. You're standing before me. Beloved, do you understand how scary that is? If you can yawn at that, or just let that roll off your back, I pity you. Because for me, even as a Christian, even as a one that trusts not in myself but in Christ, the thought of standing before God not clothed in the righteousness of Christ is still extremely sobering. It's extremely sobering. And here are these people that are so hard-hearted. They probably said, get out of here, Amos. You're just a farmer. Go back to the fields. But God says, now is the time that you will meet me. God created everything. He upholds everything. And now they must understand that at some point you will answer for your sins. You do not sin with impunity. Do you and I stop and consider that today? I mean, we often sin, and I say we because I'm including myself. We sin as if there's no thought of tomorrow. Oh, God's, you know, He's forgiving. He's going to forgive me. He's a loving God. And thank the Lord those attributes describe Him. But every sin we do that to, God will never let it go unpunished. Now, if we're Christians, He's already punished Christ in our place for those sins. That should break our hearts. And you know what? It doesn't enough. It doesn't for me. I don't often stop and consider even the sins that I'm committing daily or will commit in the future. I don't stop to consider the fact of that blood we sang about earlier. And you know what that reveals? That there's still so much hardness and wickedness and sin in my heart. You say, poor you, I don't have to deal with that anymore. Okay. If that's the case, then either you've made many more strides in me in sanctification, which I'm thankful for, or you're fooling yourself. Because if Peter one moment can say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the next minute say, no, Lord, and then be called Satan, and then later deny that he knew Christ 3 times, even after seeing people raised from the dead and lepers healed and the blind given sight and the deaf given hearing and all of those things, if Peter can do it, and the man after God's own heart could sin and commit adultery and murder and all the other things David did, do you really think you and I can't do that? Paul said, take heed lest you fall. In Galatians, we need to stand up and take notice. God has given us this day to consider the blessings of life. Have we returned? Have we come to Christ as Lord and Savior? Have we forsaken our sin? Have we taken up the cross daily and followed Him? If not, today's the day of salvation. If those of us that do know Christ are not walking the way He's called us to walk and to trust Him, He's given us another day to repent. But you understand one of these days there's going to come the moment that will be irrevocable that we hear, prepare to meet your God. Will you pray with me?